Just take a moment. Take a moment and get in touch with your emotions. And take a moment and just think for a moment in this last season of life, last couple days, last week, last month, has your life been a storm? Have you felt that it's been blue skies everywhere? Great days, days to celebrate. Has it been like the darkness of a night, or have you been over the moon? Have you really felt like the rains are pouring down and you're about to flood your life? And have you felt that your feet are on the ground or you've been flying high? Oh, I know. But perhaps I haven't captured your emotion, where you're at today. But getting in touch with your emotions is a good thing because God made you with emotions. It's His image that's upon us, and God, as you read through the Bible, is emotional. He gets angry when things are wrong. He's delighted with you. He loves you. He's compassionate and gracious, He says. Read through the Bible, you don't get a sense of a distant, unemotional God. No way. So getting in touch with your emotions is a good thing. Even if you don't think you're an emotional person, you have emotions. We're not zombies, I hope. You have emotions. And getting in touch with your emotions, as much as whatever messages you've heard in society about how you're to handle your emotions, they're not always biblical. They're not always godly. So getting in touch with your emotions is good. We've been looking at this last month, the great physician is in. And this morning we're talking about nasty medicine. Nasty medicine that if you're anything like me, you'll say, "Oh, I don't want to take that." Like Janet with Buckley's. Don't give me that. Nasty medicine. We don't like taking it, but it's good for you. It tastes bad and it works. We're pursuing God's great choices, so we think about God's will and going this way or that way. I loved this picture because sometimes the directions that we go on, we're not sure whether God's in it or not. He gives us the choice to go through those ways. Other times in life, we know for sure we shouldn't be going that way. But sometimes in life, in our emotional journey, we're not sure which is the right way to go, but we do pursue God's will. It's one of the reasons why I think you're here this morning, right? You want to pursue God's will, God's direction for you and choice in your life. This is a series, as we've discussed, that is more of questions than answers. It's more of a meandering through the dynamics of life than a direct GPS from one place to another. It's more like strategies of practice than celebrations of victory. So as we've worked through this, there's been a number of books that we've been referring to. I've been convinced in this series that we need to lean on other people's understanding of the Bible. So there's a few books that I just want to make mention of. This is the Healing Breakthrough that we kind of started with. There's more copies of this available from Randy Clark. Has an interesting connection with the city of Toronto, and certainly there's extra copies for you to read. I've also been looking at Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This is by Pete Scazzaro. He has a number of books on this emotionally healthy dynamic of spirituality. I finished it this week. You're welcome to take this, my copy, and read it for yourself. Its contention is that there's really no way you can be spiritually healthy if you're emotionally not. It's a great, great perspective. We've also been looking at, one of our members here has recommended that we consider the first chapter of Ravi Zacharias' book, The Grand Weaver, which has a brilliant truth in it that I'll share. And this book here that I'm just a few pages into, The Gospel According to Job, which is in our library. There's other books in our library also on this issue of what do we do with pain? This book is fantastic, and I'll share a little bit about it as well, too. Also a recommendation from one of our members. Last year, August 17th, Matthew spoke in my place, and he spoke about pain's purpose and presence. He spoke from Romans 5, "Rejoice in your sufferings, for your sufferings produce perseverance, your perseverance produces character, and your character produces hope." I encourage you to listen to that message again. You can get it from Matthew or get it from Nick, because it's a great primer for what we're discussing. And about a week after Matthew shared that, we were sitting in his backyard, and we talked about six buckets of suffering. It was weird. For me anyways, Matthew. It was weird in that God revealed to Matthew and I the fact that suffering is not all equal. You know this in conversation. Because you can say, oh, my big toe is killing me. And someone says, yeah, I was just in the hospital for 6 weeks. Not the same pain, right? We take that effect across all the different dynamics who we are, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, relationally, physically, and there's just different pain. So as I sat in the background, we came up with these six buckets of pain, if you will, six areas of pain and suffering that I wanted to just kind of touch on this morning as we delve into this. And as we look at this, certainly the time frame that I have this morning, it just demands generalities. There may be some time in which you think, oh, that doesn't fit there. It's a discussion point. So I'm happy to share my notes with you so you can have further discussions about it, but this is the way it looks like. First bucket or first area, first level, I guess, of suffering is delusion. It's lies. We could say this is perspective. This is where true pain and suffering is really starts in my mind or yours. Worry, fear, you know the acronym for fear. I love acronyms, right? False expectations appearing real. Problem is, some of our fears are real. So it's not really false. It's expectations appearing real, but we can't really go around and say, I'm earing. I'm in fear, not in ear. Fear sometimes is real, but most of the times for me anyways, it's false. Expectations appearing real. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my worry or in my concern, I get so prepared on what is about to happen that when it doesn't happen, I'm upset. You know, like I bought a generator and the power didn't go off. I bought a pump and I didn't flood. Why not? That's what I was worried about. You see the foolishness of that, right? I worry about things and plan for things that end up not happening. That's delusion. Didn't happen in my mind. Delusions and lies, it's about perspective. Psalm 53:5 says it really interesting. God's talking and he says, the people who do not know me are overwhelmed with dread when there's nothing to dread. You get that? Everybody experience that? I'm so worried. 2 weeks later, I don't know why I'm worried about that. This is delusion. It is a pain because worry leads to sleeplessness, leads to sickness. It's real. It's a real pain. It does impact our lives. Delusion is a sickness of the mind. It's a sickness of the emotions, and it has physical, spiritual, and social symptoms. So you'll hear me say this as we take a look at these. I'm just going to go briefly through the other ones, but you'll hear me say that sickness is of this area, and these are the symptoms. Because delusion doesn't start with you being in an injury. It starts with your mind and leads to your body, okay? It's important to consider that as we look at what are symptoms and what are causes. So let's take a look at the next one. Irritation, annoyance. This is in the area of contentment or lack thereof. We look at irritation. This is, this is like non-life-threatening annoyances in life. It's not going to end your life, but it is a pain. It's 100 mosquitoes in your tent. Ah, couldn't sleep. That's annoyance, right? Annoyance, lacking contentment, Philippians 3, if you want to refer to it, talks about being content in all situations. Irritation is a sickness of the mind and the emotions and the body with spiritual and social symptoms. You get up in the morning after 100 mosquitoes have been in your tent and you're not that pleasant of a person to be with, right? The symptom is your relationship with others. The cause is your irritation over those mosquitoes. Okay, let's go on. Injury. Accidents, non-life-threatening, let's say. Non-life-threatening injury are accidents, results of our human condition. None of you have been able to or will live through life without some injury or accident, results of your human condition. It's the reality. It's just life, you could say. Stuff happens. It's common to all. To err, to fail, to slip is to be human. We live to be corrected. So that's kind of irritation. That's injury. Injury is a sickness of the body, relationships, and emotion with spiritual and intellectual symptoms. You know, when you're around me when I'm irritable, that has social implications. Let's go on. Illness. Illness, we could say illness, testing, struggle, really connects with character building. When we cross over from injury, which tends to be something, you know, these are generalities, but injury, which often we think of, oh, I cut my finger, it's going to heal, I won't die from it. When we cross over from injury to illness, it becomes more serious, because all of us have had experiences in which someone has had life-threatening diagnoses, significant illnesses, and yet it's such a wide area, because you could have an illness that's a cold that lasts 2 days. I can handle it. Not happy. Breaking relationships in terms of not being able to meet people, or I could have a diagnosis that's life-threatening. Struggle and pain changes who we are. Rarely do we come through these life experiences the same persons. Let me put it this way. 100 mosquitoes don't change your character. 6 months out of work does. Illness is a sickness of the body, or emotions, or relationships that have intellectual and social symptoms. Isolation, destruction, brokenness. I would say, in my own opinion, that isolation is a more severe form of sickness or pain in my life than illness. There's no relationship hospital you can go to fix your relationships up. But there is one for your body. Isolation and destruction and brokenness, family alienation, perhaps, which has not been your fault at all, estrangement, social rejection. This is where, in isolation, I believe that the devil has far more of his activity, even though the devil crosses all these. There's no limitations for him. He will send you 100 mosquitoes if he wants to irritate you. We'll talk about that later, but isolation to destruction, brokenness. Brokenness, because oftentimes we don't heal from these, sadly. Isolation is a sickness of relationships and emotions and the spirit, and it does have physical and intellectual symptoms. Let's go on to the last one. Judgment, condemnation, damnation. Worst form of illness. It's a terminal disease, an infection in all of creation. Everyone, all things that are created have this infection called judgment and condemnation and ultimately damnation. Romans 8, 20, 21 says, the creation was subject to frustration in hope that creation itself will be liberated, healed from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. That's judgment, condemnation, damnation. That's what we're in. It's a sickness that's common to every single one of us. It's why death happens. Judgment. Sorry, let me go back a little bit. You get that verse that all of creation has this sickness, this illness. And what's it waiting for? It will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of you, children of God. I know, I get it. The rest of the verse talks about us also being in that decay. But it speaks about the fact that we already have the glory. We do. Christ in our lives, we have that already, even though it's not fully borne out. Judgment, condemnation, damnation is a sickness of our ultimate relationships with God. It's a spiritual sickness ultimately, and God redeems our emotions and our intellect and recreates our body in eternal form. Hallelujah, right? The greatest form of illness has already been covered for you. That's mind-blowing for me. That's fantastic. It certainly changes the dynamics in other ways. But here, let me ask you some nasty medicine questions. You ready? Write it down if you want to. If you like journaling. Your present pain and suffering that you identify as the worst in your life, which one of these areas does it fit in? The thing that weighs you down the most. I bet it's not a mosquito. But it could be an irritation. What weighs you down the most? And here's the second question. Are you presently focusing on the symptoms of where you are or the cause? Anyone who studied medicine would say that if you focus on the symptoms, it'll continue for a long time and you may never be cured. Because you're focusing on the symptoms. Focus on the cause. I hope this creates a good discussion for us, but let's go on to God's Word. Let me just read this for us as we get into what God's Word has to say for us. Hebrews 12, and it follows Hebrews 11, obviously. And just going to cut you there, if you're still up. Hebrews 12 talks about this great cloud of witnesses that is talking about the people that are listed, that's talking about the Bible, that's talking about every person that's gone through this church and is now with the Lord. Since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and sin in our lives that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God has decided when you'd be born, as we'll talk about, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary, lose heart. This is life-giving here. Direction for us to take. It's also nasty medicine. It's nasty medicine that's being offered for you to take. Taking it will heal you, but you have to take it. What's the nasty medicine? Well, if you have something that's hindering you, obviously you're carrying it with you. It's close to you. We're called off to throw off everything that hinders us in our walk with God. And the sin that entangles us, trips us up, has us, if you're anything like me, sometimes flat against the dust saying, what happened? Yeah, it was my sin that entangled me and now I'm down waiting for God to pick me up. Throw that off. That's the nasty medicine. The things in our life that are leading us astray, keeping us away from God, we're called to throw off. And run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How are we to do that? We're to focus on Christ. Focusing on Christ comes up against my number one sickness. My belligerence. My arrogance. The times in which I say, I'm right, God, you're wrong. I don't care what the Bible says. It's my perspective that, you know, that's kind of at the heart of it, right? I'm right, God's wrong. My way or I'm... Oh, come on. Some Sunday mornings, you've left, if you're anything like me, saying, I don't know whether I want to go next week. Not if he's going to say that. Why? Because sometimes the pastor's way off and you don't know what... And he's not saying things you should say, he or she. But sometimes it's the word of God that's nasty medicine that you don't want to take. And I don't want to take. So it ends up with us saying, I'm not going back. I have the right not to go back. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, God holds our lives in His hands. All the good in them, your salvation, His health. Let me read this for you. God made the world and everything in it. That's you. God made the world and everything in it. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He gives life and breath and everything else. He made every nation of men to inhabit the whole earth. He determined the time set for them. He decided on your birthday and the exact places where they should live. God did this so we would seek out and reach out for Him and find Him, though He's not far from any one of us. It doesn't take a loud prayer to get God's attention. He is close by to us, and He will hear us when we call to Him. For in Him we live, and we move, and we have our being. That's how close He is. Rabbi Zacharias, in the first chapter of Grand Weaver, says this: once you see God's hand in your life, you will know His workmanship within you, which pulls together every thread of your existence into a marvelous work of art. God's making something of my life, every part of my life, that's beyond my capability to understand what it looks like. Once you see God's hand in your life, you will know His workmanship within you, which pulls together every thread of your existence into a marvelous work of art. If we're willing, God authors our life. He'll redeem our pain and our struggles and help us to become little Christs. That's what the word Christian means, little Christs. To be little Christ, well, what does that mean? Colossians 1, this is what it means to be a little Christ. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For Him, by all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers and authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. Firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Wow. But Hebrews continues. In your struggle against sin, in my struggle against sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. What is he saying? You're not dead yet. Right? You're not dead yet. There's still life for you to live. In your struggle against sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addressed you as a father addresses his son or daughter? It says, my son, my daughter, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastens the one He accepts as His son, His daughter. Endure hardship as discipline. You know, life experiences build our character. In fact, as according to Rabbi Zacharias, they actually make who we are today. Our life experiences have. Oh, I know some of those life experiences you would have opted out of. If you could, I would have. They build character or they store up bitterness, our choice. Regardless of the sources of pain and struggle, every dark moment that we see inherently invites us to draw closer to God, even if we're simply asking why. It's one of the beauties of living a Christian life that you can actually draw close to God in anger and determination to know and in frustration and pain saying, God, why? Why? And He loves it because you're drawing close to Him. Now, He doesn't love the fact that you're in pain. He loves the fact that you're coming to Him. This is hard, tough medicine to take. Discipline leads to holiness. Let me go on to this. God disciplines for us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. What? He allows us to have our character formed so that we may be set aside for Him to do His will. That's what holiness means. God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. God redeems our suffering, produces peace and righteousness. I wanted to share with you just a quote from Mike Mason. Mike Mason, page 260, answers a huge question for us in our pain and struggle of life. If the church is truly to be the body of Christ on earth, then it must embody all of Christ and not just the public and sensational aspects of his ministry. That's for us as a church. Not all Christians, in short, are going to be blessed with healthy bodies, well-balanced characters, or obviously fruitful ministries. Such believers may not be conquerors. They are more than conquerors. That is, there's something better than conquerors, since they hold to their faith in the midst of apparent defeat. To require victorious lives of such saints would be tantamount to demanding that Jesus would come down from the cross. For these people have their victory already, and yet it's not the sort of victory we or even they expect. It is not victory in any recognizable form, but rather it is mystery wrought by God, and he will reveal its glory in his own good time. He's speaking in part as well about chapter 12 of Hebrews. Sometimes we think pain in life is irrelevant and God would rather us not go through it. God wants to redeem it. At the end of this passage it says, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. God loves you. He's given you life. Acts says every time you breathe, you're evidencing the fact that God loves you. He's given you life. You didn't get it from your parents alone because God gave them life. God gives you life. God loves you. God loves you. So let me just mention this. To experience spiritual healing, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, your God, and yield to Him. Follow His ways. It heals you instantaneously. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're ready for death. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's any time that he can come back and you're fully healed to accept him, to know him. Oh, I know it's a big mystery in working it into this, but that's why we follow his ways. That's why we read the word and understand what is God like, because I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, I'm a little Christ. And what does that mean? It means I look like Jesus. It leads to abundant life. Jesus said, I come to bring abundant life. Intellectual healing is accepting the freedom from Jesus, the renewal through the transformation of your mind. Reading his word transforms your mind. To know his word brings about miraculous power. Because you're not living in the world's way of living, which has death in it. You're living in his way, which has life in it. Knowing his word. Emotional healing comes about by accepting God's words, God's ways, truth, and life, and trusting his brilliant ways. Seeking his will allows us to have all of what we are redeemed, and it leads to profound liberty. One of the books that I was reading this week talked about the range of emotions and the fact that God has given those emotions, but in almost every emotional dynamic, there's a crossover. There's one area in which we experience the love of God, even though we may not accept it, we're experiencing the love of God, and then it crosses over. Anger, for example. Righteous anger is something that God exhibits because it's a reflection of the fact that things aren't right. And when I was in my shop on the farm and I threw a hammer across the room, that was unrighteous anger. Because I was so mad, in fact, mad that I hurt my hand, that I threw a hammer. I threw that hammer across the shop on the farm. 2 minutes later, David came walking through. See the problem? I can be angry with the fact that I'm experiencing pain, but to throw the hammer could have taken out my son's life. There's a crossover in all of our emotions in which we experience the liberty of God by knowing his word, following his ways. Seeking his will allows us the key to then saying, this life is not my own. I belong to God. And as much as I may stumble through it, he'll redeem it. It's great freedom. Really, in this area, how can God heal us? What's he asking of us? Understanding what we talked about today, the fact that God brings healing about in many different ways also allows us to press into God and say, hey, God, will you heal us? We know you can. Will you heal us? Heal us spiritually. Heal us intellectually. Heal us emotionally. In the weeks to come, we're going to look at physical healing and relational healing. God holds our lives in his hands. As Ravi Zacharias shares in his book, he's making a beautiful tapestry. He shares the image of a father and a son working together on a tapestry. The father bringing about threads of life into the tapestry, and the son below working the loom. Son doesn't know what's coming. He's just working the loom. And he's constantly in communication with his father, who's making this beautiful picture that the son can't see because he's on the back side of the tapestry. It's the other side that God sees, that takes great delight in through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you've come here this morning saying, man, it's raining down on me. Life is a mess. I'm really struggling. God redeems that pain. He's not saying stay in it. He's not saying don't find ways to be healthy through it, but he will take you through it, guaranteed, because we ultimately are not condemned. We're the ones through whom creation ultimately will be redeemed. We're going to pray together. I want to pray with you, ask you to pray with me, but there's some things that I want to share with you that the truths that God shares with you now. He says, I love you. I have the power to heal you. I heal in accordance with my word, my will, my way, and my desire is to know you better and for you to know me. I will define your healing and you will truly be free. All you have to do is ask. I'm going to pray for us this morning. Seek that prayer, knowing that he can do it, and he may, through his Holy Spirit, just heal us today. Heal us spiritually. Heal us emotionally. Heal us intellectually, physically, and relationally. Let's pray together. God in heaven, we many times feel the distance between us and you. And it's in our own minds or in our own lives. And the distance sometimes causes me, or perhaps causes these my friends, to feel as if we don't warrant your love, don't qualify for your healing. That sometimes we feel as though we don't have the faith, and yet you have everything we need. You have us in your hands. You love us. You can heal us. You want to walk alongside of us to heal us in every way, to fit us, to prepare us for heaven, so we'll not be lame, but that we will be healed. Lord, amongst our congregation, amongst our family here at Fallingbrook Heights Baptist, there are people who are in great need of healing, some of which are here and some of which are away. We ask you for your healing. We ask you for your healing touch, and we'd so long for you, Lord Jesus, to physically walk amongst us and put your hand upon us and heal us. But we know, Lord God, that it's not just a healing physically that we want ultimately to be the children you've called us to be. It's healing in every way. So we first, Lord God, ask you to heal our spirits. Heal our spirits so that we are willing to acknowledge you, our God, Lord, Savior of our lives, and hand over our lives to you, perhaps for the first time or perhaps again. Heal us, God, because we know you can, through your Son's blood on the cross, prepare us for heaven. Heal our spirits, Lord God. Draw us closer to you. We pray, knowing, Lord God, that you've made us in incredible ways, fearfully and wonderfully made. We are like nothing else in creation, for we bear your image upon us. We thank you for that. I pray, Lord God, that you'll continue to guide us and direct us and walk alongside of us so that we would have intellectual healing in which our minds may be purified and we'd be drawn, they'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that you would give us a great hunger, like deep down inside hunger, to know your word, to read your word, and to understand how you teach us and how you guide us. And that intellectual healing would then heal other parts of our lives, our emotional, our physical, our relational lives. Please heal our minds. We release to you, Lord God, the garbage of the world that we've been given that is philosophies that lead to death. We ask, Lord God, that you will heal us so that we aren't drawn anymore to competing philosophies or even the devil's philosophies that would lead us astray. We give you our minds and ask you that you would heal them. I pray, Lord God, that you'll continue to guide and direct us and that you would hear the prayers of these, my friends. And they would be, you would hear the prayers of their hearts, the silent prayers, the longing for you, for those that are with us and those that perhaps are away. Lord, there are times in which the devil oppresses us, times in which we need to pray that prayer. Deliver us from evil. And I pray, Lord God, that you will indeed cast out demons that would attack us, evil that would attack us, that would bring affliction into our lives. Those times in life, in God, in which we just had no idea of the pain that was coming, set us off our relationship with you. I pray, Lord God, that you will cast out demons of oppression, of affliction in our lives. We want to serve you, God. And we know that evil continues to have its power in our world. We're confused at times with how it does so. But I pray, Lord God, that you'll cast demons of affliction out of our lives. We ask, Lord God, because we want to serve you. And we, as David said, we can't serve you from the grave. We can't serve you from the grave of emotional affliction in which we don't know which way's up. We can't serve you if our minds are confused about your word, and we can't serve you if our spirits are so low that we don't even know if they exist. God, please heal us. Heal us with the power of your Holy Spirit and the great mercy and compassion of your Son, Jesus. Lord God, we give you ourselves, accepting the truths that you love us, that you have a plan for us. We accept the truths that you can heal, that you desire to heal. We accept the truths that in Jesus Christ, there's nothing, there's no sin that keeps us from qualifying for your love. And we give ourselves to you to receive that healing. Amen.